I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without God's unfolding grace. I love that idea of unfolding grace. That God's unfolding grace is present in our lives. I read a blog this week that really spoke to me called "A People Who Hold Space Will Heal the Church" by Caitlin Curtis. I have no idea who Caitlin Curtis is, and somebody sent me a link to the blog and it spoke to me. Several things about it spoke to me. She tells a story of getting married with someone with a very different background from her, and makes the comment as they are working on the early days of their lives of figuring out who they are and who they will become and how to mesh two lives together. She says, "When he married me, he loved who I was, but also saw who I could one day become, and he held that vision steady. And it wasn't a vision for what he thought I was supposed to be, but a vision still unknown to him, held by the mystery of God." So he really sees something, but he doesn't know what it is. And whatever this vision is, it's being held by the mystery of God. I love that idea. You know, we often see potential in someone and we kind of work to make that happen in one way or another. But holding this vision that isn't yet named and recognizing that it's held by the mystery of God is powerful. This thing of not having to define it and allowing God to unfold it is huge. Early in their married life, he takes her to his favorite spot, Lincoln Lake, which is a climbing spot in Arkansas. He was a rock climber. And she says that she only saw a brown lake and lots of bugs. Clearly, she was not enthralled. 9 years later, they return to the same place. And with large ants crawling on her feet and a high humidity in the air, she says, "It's beautiful here." And with tears in her eyes, she admits that she didn't appreciate it the first time. Something that he knew all along. She then reflects that there seems to be a difference between being with someone to change them and being with someone as you hold space for them to change. She then names how he's held space for her to grow up and mature, held space for her to become a mother, to ask questions of faith, and to accept her native culture without fear. In holding space, she says, he continued to love her and continues to hold space for the next thing, whatever it is. She then goes on to suggest that this is work that the church must do. That in holding space for people, we will bring healing to the church. She says they are the ones who bring justice and shalom because they are patient people who hold on to a long-off vision. We need them in our churches because they will not force change. They will not sit in pews and bear judgment over the people around them, but they will sit with those people and wait for God to show them the way. The truth is that the church has too often tried to manage people, and thereby we have wounded people deeply. Dallas Willard tells us that it is not our job to manage sin. It's our job to simply love people. And so we need to hold space for people, to see what is good in each other, and to hold on to the longer vision that God holds for each of us. And then we need to wait. Simply wait. And allow God to be present in that person. Ultimately, she talks about climbing rocks with her husband, who was a rock climber, and how she felt drawn into this new world, which is actually his world, drawn by not knowing how to climb and not knowing where to put her hands and her feet. And yet, not knowing gave her the energy to try, trusting this thing that is calling her back to God. Then she says as she got to the top and looked around at the view, she felt incredibly alive. If we hold space for each other, we learn how to truly be alive with one another as we cast off judgment and wait for the grace of God to journey with us into unknown and sacred places. And my friends, it's absolutely worth the wait. As she was talking about climbing and not knowing where to put her feet, it reminded me of going to the Oregon coast with my grandfather and going on a path down at the Hasita Head Lighthouse. And as we were out there, the path that we had gone on was closed off by the tide, and we could not come back the way that we had gone. My grandfather knew this, and he knew another way to get out because he had fished on that rocks many times. And we had to climb down a cliff, one of those where you have to kind of go down. It wasn't terribly high. I mean, probably 10 feet high, I'm guessing, not something like that. But I was young enough that I was afraid, and Grandpa went down first, and then he put my feet in the rocks and held on to me so that I would know where to put my feet and could trust going down. And I think that trusting God is often that way. I can't see, but I can feel God's leadings. I can sense, put your foot here, put your foot there, and that is enough. So how do we hold space for other people? I think one of those ways is by seeing that of God in others, by noticing it. That's a Quaker phrase, to that of God in others, and to see that. George Fox talked about walking cheerfully over the earth and answering that of God in others. And so we need to notice that and speak to it. We've learned from Patty about being present to a person's life points, giving divine inattention to their broken places, and speaking and believing in their life points that they are enough, and really answering the life points in another person. We hold space for people with a lack of judgment for others, simply letting them be. Chris was telling us yesterday, Donna wasn't present, but he was telling Cecily and I that he thought the secret to their marriage was a lack of judgment for each other and really trusting each other that they have different ways of doing things. And some things they're not going to be in agreement on, but they didn't have to judge each other, and that he thought that was the secret to their marriage of 50 years. That we're patient with the process. You know, for some of us, it takes a long time to go through the process. And that we're patient with one another, and rather than pushing to get through in a short period of time. I've learned, particularly as I watch people that seem to struggle, and I think of a couple that were struggling and having a hard time with life, and that things weren't unfolding the way they expected them to unfold. And I wanted them to have a clearness committee. The answer is, we'll all get together and we'll listen with you. And they didn't want to have a clearness committee. And when I was frustrated about that and began to listen, I realized that, you know, God has been graceful with me. And I need to extend that same grace to others. And even when I don't want to do things the way that maybe others would like me to do, that God has extended grace and patience with me. And so it's been an invitation that I extend that same grace and patience to others, rather than kind of having an idea of how it should unfold in your life, but that I can grace that. And then the holding prayer, this holding prayer of simply holding others in God's hand without using words. This comes from a story in which a young gal in my youth group was in a sledding accident and her spleen was ruptured. And because God is God and God had the right physician at the hospital that night, somebody that had just completed a rotation in spleens, he simply held her spleen together for 45 minutes. Spleens can't be sewn up. They're kind of like jello. So usually they just take them out. That's the standard solution for this kind of injury of a ruptured spleen. And he just held it together until it congealed of its own free will. And so often that's the answer, that we simply hold. When we don't know what the answer is, that we simply hold them and hold them in the presence of God. But I got to thinking about that blog and how after 9 years he took her back to the lake. How did he know it was time to return to the lake? Or did he know that it was time to return to the lake? Sometimes I think we don't hold enough space and we go back too soon before people are ready. And they feel pushed. But I wondered, is it also possible to wait too long? To hold space until it becomes empty and void. I wondered, can space be held so long that it loses the invitation to the next piece? Then I read another blog about holding space for personal transformation and change by Jennifer. I don't know her either. This woman is a doula and a midwife and speaks to the process out of that experience of being a doula. She talks about being in a group conversation and noticing an underlying conflict. And they couldn't move forward with their current work that they were doing as a group because of this unspoken conflict that lay underneath their work. She names that fact and is able to hold space for the conflict to find resolution. It's like the resolution was present, but it had no space to be seen. And so she helped to create space in which it could be seen, it could be named, and come forth. I also noticed that she used the passive tense, that with space, the conflict finds resolution. She then ponders what it was that she offered and why that changed things. She likens it to what she does at a birth, being a midwife to transformation. She said, in a very real sense, she does nothing. She says, when I attend a birth, I allow myself to be present as the birth unfolds as it is meant to. My role as a birth guardian is to stay grounded, present, still, aware, always trusting, never wavering, knowing intimately the realms that women traverse in labor, and being prepared to tend to the mother if needed. And she emphasizes that it involves total trust. She said thinking too much really distracts her from noticing how the labor is going, and it tempts her to want to make the labor go as she thinks it should go, to help it along, so to speak. In human transformation, deep listening and trust are key components to holding space, all the while bearing witness to another's journey. Holding space for others allows them to do the personal journey, to do their personal work, to enter into the process of discovering for themselves how it is that they can move forward, to find a way through the chaos into becoming. And that being present in this way empowers others to do the hard work. And that we have to really resist the temptation to take over and manage this transformation work. to say, you just need to do this. That somehow we allow that space to be present. I noticed that in all of this, trust is an important piece. Trusting that movement is possible. And trusting that God will really be present with all of us on this journey, that we're not alone. And trusting that there is way forward and letting it emerge. And I also note that we often need others to hold space for us. That somehow this transformation process needs accompaniment. That the truth is that we find it difficult to do all of this work without being with others. To do it all by our lonesomes. We often get stuck in that place of being alone and not knowing where to go. And so we somehow turn inside in a way that's not helpful. Yet I think we often resist having others present. Maybe because they too often take over and judge us. Or because we feel incapable of doing the work ourselves. Maybe we're afraid to trust others with our intimate journey, this very personal process of inner transformation. And we're a bit skittish about, can I trust this other human being? Maybe we're afraid that transformation is not possible for me. So somehow this holding of space of others helps us to come to this place of trust. And as we trust others to simply be with us, we become ready for the next steps. That somehow in the sitting with us, in the waiting with us, in the listening with us, and in the tending to our needs as they arise, then we become ready for the next steps. Back to that initial blog and her statement about holding space and that it will heal the church. I think she's right. Holding space is important work, and the church won't heal without it. When space is held for me, or when the space is held for us, how do we enter into this transformation process? Must we do something, or does it come naturally? I think we often struggle with answering others. When do we answer? And when do we stay quiet and simply hold space? It seems to me that there has to be a balance here. Can we do both? Can we both hold space and answer others? And how do we do that? What does it mean to answer others? I think that's another message, and I'm thinking I'll work on that for next Sunday. Because I think that is a part of our work. It's true that the church at large needs healing. And we need to hold space for each other and for God to do this healing work. Northwest Yearly Meeting needs healing. This fracture that is coming in Northwest Yearly Meeting is causing great pain. And not all, only those that are exiting Yearly Meeting need healing, but those that are staying need healing. We all need healing. And we need healing. So how can we hold space for one another so that God can complete His healing work among us? Let us wait in open worship and listen, inviting God to show us how it is that we hold space for each other, how it is that we allow this transformation process to occur, how it is that we find way forward and deep healing that gives us a future with hope and with life and allows us to enter in fully into the presence of God. Let us listen.